Friends, you know, one of the most painful images that I've recently got spiritually is an image of how there are many Christians who have title deeds to properties that they have never located, spiritual properties that they have never claimed rights to, spiritual properties that, because they've laid vacant for such a long time, they have been occupied by squatters. You can imagine that if that was to happen even in the physical, it's so painful. In the UK, if a squatter finds a property that's unoccupied and they gain entry, it doesn't matter how they gained entry, if they found a loophole, if they found access, if they found an open door, right, and entered and made home of that house that's unoccupied, after a certain time, they actually have a legal right to stay in there. And if the owner then finally comes back, they have to go to court, which can be a lengthy, costly, and a painful process to go through. Imagine that happens in the physical. Imagine it happening in the spiritual. Today, my friends, I want us to talk about this. I want to expose some of the things that I have learned about this during my period of fasting and praying. Like I said, God put it on my heart to go on a 40-day prayer and fasting journey. And the things that I'm sharing are things that have stemmed from that. So sit tight, let's learn together. And I pray that in me pouring out my heart and sharing the things that I learned in my own secret place, that these things become fuel that help you to, you know, claim properties that are yours that maybe you've never claimed, yet you hold the title deeds. So let's go into this together, my friends, right? So if you're new here, welcome to God Undiluted. Here we speak all things the word of God, unedited, uncut, for this our generation, as we are led by the Holy Spirit. I don't speak from a position of knowing it all or from a position of authority in the flesh, but I speak from a position of humbleness and allowing the Lord to use me to speak what I've been learning concerning my own life and sharing it with you. So without further ado, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for yet another opportunity that you have released me to share what you've been teaching me in my own secret place with your children. Thank you, Father, for the work that you have done in my own life. It is my prayer that even as I share vulnerably and openly and honestly, oh God, from what has happened in our own secret place, that, Father God, it brings deliverance to your children, that it brings healing, Father, and it brings a fight in the inside of them for anyone who may have been feeling tired, anyone that may have been feeling weary. I just pray that this message brings life again, that they may be strengthened, oh Lord, that they claim what is theirs and locate what is theirs in the spirit and have the courage and the boldness and the strength to chase away the squatters and reclaim what is theirs in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Holy Spirit, I decrease as you increase. Take over my voice, take over my mind, take over everything about this message, and may it be delivered in a way that is holy and pleasing unto the Father, and may Jesus alone receive all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Friends, I feel really emotional already, but I'm going to press on and do this assignment justice. All right. Today, I want us to talk about generational curses. This is not a topic that I ever thought I would be speaking on, but I have to just walk in obedience and share with you what the Lord has placed on my heart. Like I said, I started off with just sharing that image with you, that powerful image that, you know, when you have a property that is vacant and squatters gain access, you have a fight on your hands, especially if they have lived in that house for a very long time. And, you know, I don't want to go around in houses. I want to just get into it, into the message. Over the period where I was fasting and praying, like I said, it was a 40-day journey. And I'm not in any way saying that to gain deliverance, you need to be on this 40-day journey. Not at all. This was something that happened within that journey. What I was on this journey for had nothing to do with the stuff that I'm going to talk to you about. Yet during that period, I'm so thankful that God, you know, took me on this journey. So over the period, I just felt this pull, this compulsion to, you know, have 3 days where I was just pressing in, you know, like proper, like just going deeper and harder than I'd ever been in this fast. So it started off with the Lord just putting it on my heart that, Christina, we're going to fast like absolute, you know, some people call it the Esther fast or whatever, but I don't want to be legalistic, so I'm not going to put terms. I felt in my heart that the Lord was saying to me, yes, I know that during this 40 days of prayer and fasting, you are doing a Daniel fast throughout, but these 3 days, you're going to go absolute. You know, I went in, I pressed in, no food, 20, like, you know, how many hours is 3 days? 72 hours, 3 full days. Right. I did on the second day drink some tea because your girl was struggling for energy. But I'm being transparent so that you understand that this is not about legalism. I'm sharing with you my individual journey. OK, so I went in and I was like, OK, Lord, you know, I don't know what this is, the reason for this about, because in my 2 years of really pressing in with the Lord, to be honest with you, I have gone through deliverance in my own house. And so I was like, I mean, I don't think that there is anything else that I still need to claim, right? But I was like, I'll do it, Lord. If I feel this compulsion, I'm going to follow through. So that's what I did. And over this period, I was led to the book of Daniel. And it was the book of Daniel chapter 9 that I learned so much about what the Lord was wanting me to do in terms of claiming territories I didn't know that I had not yet got authority over, right? The first verse that I want to share with you is this. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 to 15, which is an anchor scripture. I call it an anchor scripture for me because I have it even printed and a frame of it in my house, because when I started my journey with the Lord, really pressing in, it gave me hope. It gave me confidence because I would look at that verse. It still does. And I love it because it talks about how on the cross, the Lord gave me victory, right? It speaks about how every spiritual principality, every ruler, please read it. I'm not going to open it because that's not the basis of this message, but I'm just giving it to you. It's Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 to 15. It speaks about how on the cross, Jesus made a public spectacle of every principality, every ruler. I love the Amplified because it talks about how he conquered even those principalities that had legal and illegal authority over my life. And he made them a public spectacle, right? Triumphing over them on the cross. So each time I was praying over my life, over my family, I had noticed a certain pattern, you know, in my own bloodline, in terms of like the family I have, both my maternal and paternal, I would notice certain patterns that seemed to just, you know, recur, patterns of premature death, you know, on my mom's family side, you know, every woman, every sister of hers that had really pressed in with God, like premature death. And I was like, wow, okay. I was praying over that, noticing patterns in my paternal bloodline, the kind of families that come out of it, you know, the lack of healthy marriages and homes and all of these things I would notice. They're not hidden. Most of the times, my friends, these things are not things that are hidden. They're things that are there in public, right? But sometimes we can over rationalize them and say, oh, these are just people's bad choices that they made and all that kind of stuff. I mean, if you believe that, it's, you know, each to their own. But I really believe that if you start to notice patterns, especially family patterns, it's important to recognize that the enemy may have a house of yours, right? A property of yours that he has claimed as a squatter. I say as a squatter because, listen, the cross of Jesus Christ made him illegal. The cross of Jesus Christ gave you back your property. The cross of Jesus Christ gave you back marriage. The property of the cross of Jesus Christ gave you back finances. The cross of Jesus Christ is powerful. And the Bible tells me in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 to 15, that the Lord gave me victory. He triumphed on the cross. He made all these things a public spectacle. So I have it. The title deeds are in my hands because I'm a child of God. But why are many Christians who have been given victory over the cross still struggling? Why are many Christians who we know that we have authority? The Bible tells us in, I think it's in Luke, that we have authority, that the Lord has put the enemy under our footstool. Why is it that many Christians are still in bondage? And I was like, Lord, help me to understand this. Help me to understand this. Because it's so easy. I was one of those people too before who would be like, but everything is done. Like, why? What do I need to fight over? But during these 3 days, the Lord taught me things that I believe that you need them too, especially if you're noticing patterns. So for me, what happened during that period is I started to have very vivid dreams, very, very vivid dreams, which, to be honest, if I'm honest with myself, truly, because some of them were during a time where it wasn't even like proper nighttime. It was during like maybe 7 p.m. at night and everything else. And I would be like, let me just have a nap before our prayer time. Our prayer time was between 12 and 2 a.m. If I'm honest with myself, some of them were really visions. They were not dreams. One that I can share within reason was when I was in my bedroom, I woke up with a very cold sweat around me. I woke up very nervous and I was thinking, why am I nervous? So I didn't wake up automatically remembering a dream or anything like that, but I woke up feeling very uncomfortable. I woke up with a lot of anxiety around me. And in that moment, I was like, why am I feeling fearful? Why am I feeling anxious? And automatically then the Holy Spirit started to download these things, which I really believe it was a vision in the sense that it really did happen in my house, but it maybe is a dream. I don't know. But what I know is I woke up from this nap feeling anxious. And in the dream, I saw a person, a familiar person, familiar, very close to me in my family, the image of a very familiar person in an inappropriate kind of, you know, space in my house. And that person, I woke up and I was saying to them, what are you doing here? You know, and they're like, oh, I was trying to, you know, sort out X, Y, Z. And I need the bathroom. The way my house is designed, where my own personal space is, like my office and my bedroom, is a private space. So even if you were a guest who was sleeping at my house, where the bedroom is, like the guest bedroom, where the bathroom is, there is no way you'll ever enter this the corridor that then leads to my own private space. So I was like thinking, why is this person in the corridor of my private space? And then they were like, oh, yeah, I was needing to go to the toilet and this is not working. And then in this dream or vision, I remember getting out of my bed and being like, yeah, OK, let me come and help you sort it out. And then this person went into the bathroom. And then as I was going downstairs, the door of my house, the house that I live in right now, was ajar. Like it was like the door was taken off the hinges and put on the side. They were like, oh, yeah, I don't know what happened with the door. And honestly, I don't want to, you know, make this video too long and continue with my dream, but I'm trying to show you that in this period, in these 3 days of praying and fasting that the Lord had specifically put on my heart to go deeper than even the other days I'd already gone, because I think this was now day 7 of the 40-day fast. Listen, I woke up and I started praying in the Spirit. I was praying in the Spirit. I was anointing my house. And it was the Lord who revealed to me that friends, I don't even know what to share with you, but I want you to know that familiar spirits are real. What I was going through, what I was doing during this 40-day fast was that the Lord was opening my eyes to the spirituality of life. There's so many things that the enemy has hidden so that we don't realize that we have been given authority. We have title deeds to properties that the enemy has hidden from us. And as the Lord was revealing to me what this dream means, because of some of the delicate information about this dream, I can't reveal everything to you. But as I was, you know, engaging with the Holy Spirit and praying, I didn't even end up waiting for the 12 midnight to pray. I started just praying in the Spirit from the moment I received the fullness of this dream. I was realizing through that, by the help of the Holy Spirit, that there were certain areas of my life that I needed to really, really stand and pray, and that the Lord was bringing me deliverance. The enemy is so foolish in that he's not wise. He's not wise. Okay, let me explain this to you. The old me would have been frightened if I'd had a dream like that, because I'd have been like, oh my gosh, you know, what is this all about? Is the enemy trying to do something in my life? But the me that the Lord had built up for the 7 days before this had happened was the me that knew that the enemy is foolish. In this expose, he's exposing himself, and the Lord is giving me, or allowing this dream to come to me, so that I know what to pray concerning, not for me to be scared, right? So, Lord, help me to just refocus and just share what is key for people to know. So the Lord helped me to realize that He's showing me this because, like Daniel, and now we're going to go to the text, the Lord was looking at me as someone who is saying, you will be the generational curse breaker. When you are with the Lord and you love the Lord and you've received Christ as Lord and personal Savior over your life, the Lord is revealing to you what is your inheritance. But many of us, my friends, what we do is like we think coming to Christ means that everything is now going to be handed to you on the platter. Yes, I don't want to lie to you. The authority has been given to us. I can never, ever, ever do anything for myself that the blood of Jesus has not already given me. But don't let the enemy kid you and fool you to make you think that you don't have things to fight for. Right? I was speaking to an amazing, lovely young woman of God who was a sister. I got to know her through sharing the word, you know, thank you so much, Trish. She shared and said to me, Sissy, she calls me, you know, Sister Christina. Sister Christina, one of the things that I've learned through listening to you is about how, you know, it's like the Lord has given us so much, but we have a part to play in our relationship with God, in our intimacy, making effort. She didn't even know that she was ministering to me. She said, Sissy Christina, I grew up being somebody who always thought about my rights, my rights, my rights, but never somebody who thought about my responsibilities. This girl didn't even realize that she was ministering. I was like, what? You're being sent to minister to me, you know? And I want to share this bit with you because it applies to the message that I had for today. That, my friends, many of us, we want to claim our rights to say, yes, I have rights over this. I have rights because I'm a child of God. I have rights because of my position as a child of God, because of what the cross has done. But we're not prepared to claim the responsibilities that come with that. Even as a father, as a parent, as a mother, my friends, you would know that yes, you will do anything for your children, but there are things that you start to give them responsibilities over. All right? So my friends, I'm here to tell you that it is our responsibility. It is our responsibility to claim what is ours. It is our responsibility, right? To claim the prophetic word, to claim this prophetic word, the Bible, right? And to speak it out, right? And to tell the squatters, the enemy who's squatting in our houses, that listen, because I am a child of God and I know the word and I know my God, I know that my house is in this city and I've come to claim it. My house, which is a good, healthy, wholesome marriages, is mine. My house, which is a good jobs or good businesses or great lives, whatever it may be that the enemy has taken. Through this word, I've learned that this is my house. I have the title deeds, yes, because I'm a child of God and I received Christ. This is my house and I'm here to claim my house. And yes, because you've been squatting in this house for generations, you may feel strong. Because listen, when you approach squatters, they're not timid. They're not like, oh, sorry, oh, yes, we know it's your house and we've been staying in this house and, you know, oh, okay, we're leaving. They don't do that. Have you ever watched a program? You know, a program where squatters are being evicted. They are smug. They are like, no, this is not our house. We don't care about your title deeds. Your title what? This is now our house. We were given the rights. The moment we saw an opportunity, we saw that your door was not properly locked or you were on holiday for a long time, you didn't man what's yours. We took it. We took it. You don't value it. We value it. Take it with the high court, right? That's what would happen, my friends. Watch any legal program with squatters. You'll see what I'm talking about. You'll see the homeowner crying and everything. The squatters don't care. That's what the enemy does. That's what the enemy does. He's like, listen, your grandfather gave me this years ago. Who are you to tell me anything? I don't care. You've received Christ. Good for you. Good for you. You've got the title deeds. I have ownership. You have the title deeds. I live in this house. Right? That's what the enemy has done with many Christians. Right? But because we're just like, oh, well, you know, one day when it's the Lord's time, it will happen. When it's the Lord's time, it will happen. May God help us and deliver us from just saying maybe when the Lord's time, when actually there's an area of your life where the squatters are in your house. May the Lord help us to see when it's not a God's time issue. It is a, you have squatters in a property that belongs to you. And it's now time for you to know and exercise your authority, right? Be responsible and go and claim what is yours.
But if you're just waiting, say, but I have the rights to the house. And, you know, when God wills, you will hold your title deeds until you die. And the squatters are staying in your property. Let me go into the word. So what the Lord taught me during this time was, through Daniel chapter 9, the Lord taught me the warfare that I needed to engage in. The warfare that I needed to get engage in to kick out the squatters that were in my house. The house was mine, yes. The blood of Jesus gave me the victory, yes. But I needed to win my stuff back from the squatters. Because whether you like it or not, my friends, the enemy has got squatters. The enemy has got demons. The enemy has got principalities. The enemy has got that, right? That are sitting on some of the things that belong to the children of God. If Satan could say to Jesus, when Jesus was being tested, that look at all this, I'll take you to a high mountain, look at all this. If you just bow to me, I would give them to you. If you could say that to Jesus, what does that tell us? It tells us that on this earth, my friends, the enemy has got territories. The enemy has got things, right? Why do you think bad things happen? We live in a fallen world, my friends. We live in a fallen world. I was one of those Christians too that never would think I had to fight for anything. I'd be like, oh, the blood of Jesus has already done it for me. I was one of those as well in bondage without realizing that the blood of Jesus has given me victory. I'm walking into a battle that has already been won. I've already won it, but I have to be willing to go into the battle. I've been called to be in the army of Christ, right? For you to have victory, you don't just stay at home and say, oh yeah, it is, I have victory, when you're not willing to take responsibility for a battle. Let me read the word. So the Bible says in Daniel chapter 9, verse 1. Verses. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, Daniel, I want you to please follow me. I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. My friends, please hear me out. Hear me out. Daniel is telling us his account. He is telling us this in verse 2, that in the first year of the reign of King Darius, I, Daniel, what did Daniel do, my friends? Daniel understood. Daniel understood. There's a lot in just those two words. Daniel understood. Rather, three words. I, Daniel, understood. Daniel understood what? First of all, how did Daniel understand? It says that Daniel understood by the books, right? He understood by the books, and these books were the word of God written by the prophet Jeremiah, through the prophet Jeremiah. So it tells us something about Daniel. Daniel was a man who was in the word, right? I don't know what the word was written like in his days, but according to the word that is ours now, it tells me in the New King James Version, that Daniel understood by the books. So it means that there were some books that were available in Daniel's time that he was reading. Not just any random books, not Mills and Boons, not whatever, right? I don't even know if Mills and Boons still exist. Like, am I telling on my age? Right? I don't know. I'm 36, by the way. I don't know. But what I know is he was reading the word of God. He was reading books that were helping him know the word of God through what God had spoken through Jeremiah the prophet, right? So the first thing for you to know, my friends, is this. For you to claim the territory that is already yours through the blood of Jesus, you need to be somebody who understands through the word of God. You cannot be the person who says, oh, I'm the generational curse breaker of my family, and you're not in the word. Daniel understood by being in the word. Daniel understood by being in the word of God. What did he understand? The number of years specified by the word of the Lord. Let me tell you something about this number of years, my friends. In the book of Jeremiah, the books that Daniel was reading, we were taught that the people, the children of Israel, were going to be in exile for 70 years. So Daniel, through reading the word, realized or understood that, oh my gosh, wow. The word says that for 70 years, the people will be under punishment. But let me look at the time. Let me discern that we're nearly done with these 70 years. So it's important to recognize and understand the seasons, to understand, my friends, through the word, to understand the spiritual calendar. Daniel understood through reading the word. You cannot claim territories over things you don't understand. If you never take time to read the word and see that, healthy and wholesome marriages are mine in Jesus' name. And that's not what it looks like in my family. Or healthy, wholesome, you know, kind of, you know, every child that's born in this family seems to have some form of disorder. We've labeled it so many things. We've labeled it autistic. We've labeled it this. Is that normal? You know, or someone's like, oh, the men in our family never be successful. Oh, the people in this family. Oh, if you're never in the word to see that this goes against what God says, you will accept it as normal. You will medicalize it. You will therapize it and miss understanding the times. Let me keep going. So I, Daniel, understood by the books of the number of years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Listen to what then Daniel did upon this realization. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make request by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Daniel knew that, this is now the opportune time. This is now the time for me to now start to petition. Yes, the Lord had turned his face away from us. Yes, the Lord had said we're going to be in exile for 70 years. But now that I've understood by the word of the prophet Jeremiah, that now is the right time to start to petition heaven for our breakthrough. And Daniel says, and I prayed to the Lord, my God. And I want you to notice how he prayed, right? Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, help me, because I don't want to miss anything important here. I don't want to miss anything important. The first step, my friends, is understanding the times through the word of God, but also through observing patterns and then recognizing this, that, okay, there's something for me to claim here. Yes, I'm a child of God. Yes, I have victory through the blood of Jesus. Yes, I have authority through the blood of Jesus. But there are areas of my life or of my family that we don't have full authority over. Right? And I'm going to humble myself and allow myself to pray. Back to my dream. Part of what the Holy Spirit revealed to me was that there was certain areas that were bound, not so much because not only because of the enemy, but because, you know, if there are histories of idolatry in your family, if there are histories of whatever it may be in your family, it's important to recognize that God has not changed his standard about those things. The children of Israel were under a curse, not necessarily because the enemy was cursing them, but because they had turned their face away from God. I'm reminded of Numbers chapter 23. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Where the children of Israel, there was a king called Balak or Balaam. So there's Balak and Balaam in the story, a prophet and a king. The king wanted to curse the children of Israel. He took a prophet. The prophet was supposed to speak the curse over the children of Israel, right? They were down on a valley, these two were up on a mountain, unbeknownst to the children of Israel, that somebody was looking down on them, watching them, monitoring them with the intention of putting a curse on them. But each time he would try to speak a curse, the Lord would speak a blessing over the children of Israel, right? And this conversation between Balak and Balaam was like, hey, listen, mate, I've called on you to curse these people. And each time you're doing this, there's a blessing that you are speaking. What is going on? And this person is like, hey, listen, I cannot curse who the Lord has blessed. I cannot do it, you know? And so, sorry. And the children of Israel were blessed. All right, I'm just paraphrasing. Numbers 23, go and read it. It's a very interesting story. But let me tell you what then happened. This prophet person said in conversation with this. But you know what? One way to get these people, right, is to cause them to get the curse upon themselves. Guess how they did that? The king went and started to entice the men of Israel with their women, inviting them, say, hey, listen, come, like, you know, let's party together. Hey, you know, we can just come, let's groovy together. And the men of Israel started having sexual relations with the women, right, of this king's people. And as a result of that, and these people would have like those orgies and sexual stuff that they would use as part of their worship to their gods. So the men of Israel walked into the curse themselves. In and of themselves, no one could curse them because God had placed a blessing on them. But through their interactions, the enticement of these women and sleeping with them, they started to worship other gods. And so the Lord turned his face away from them. So there are people who are under a curse, not so much because the enemy has spoken. Sometimes it's like we've given the enemy so much authority. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that the Lord causes general. I just want to give you everything that the Lord has given me. I'm not saying I know it all, but I'm just sharing what I've learned through my own experiences. There are certain things that some forefathers, some whoever, some grandfathers have done, like the children of Israel, that caused the Lord to turn his face away from those people, right? And the enemy now has squatting rights. That nice building, that nice house, right? The enemy noticed a little crack, right? And then with a little crowbar, he was like, oh, we've gained access into the home we never have title deeds for, the home that was never ours. Can you see that? So now the enemy has gone in through disobedience, through idolatry, right? Yes, I used to be one of those Christians who would be angry to say, God, but if you're good, why should I have to worry about the sins of people who were there before I was even born? I don't understand everything, my friends, but I'd rather humble myself and go through the process, through the word of God, to be someone who says, Lord, just like one person many, many years ago could have made decisions that left an open door for the enemy, I'm going to be the person that 100 years from now, 20 years from now, children that will flow from me and beyond will say, we thank God for our grandmother who 20 years ago in 2024 stood in the gap and started a new journey for us. So we're eating off that fruit. We're enjoying. There are battles that she fought that we will never have to fight because she was willing to chase the squatters out of the house that belonged to us, that the blood of Jesus afforded us. Do you understand that? Let me keep going. So Daniel understood that, this is now the time to stand. You have to be willing to be the one who stands in the gap, to be the one who says, I'm not going to be selfish. Imagine if Daniel had said, I'm holy, I'm clean, because we know, my friends, through the book of Daniel, that Daniel was a man with an excellent spirit. In and of himself, Daniel wasn't part of the people that were in idolatry. Daniel wasn't. He didn't look at himself and say, this is not my problem, because Daniel was blessed, even in that foreign land. Daniel was blessed, right? He was in high positions. He was successful. He was successful. Imagine if he was selfish and just said, not my problem. Me, I'm living a good life. May God help us to recognize that if you are the one who says, but why is it always me? Why am I the only one who's praying? Why am I the only one who's always going to be first in my family? Why do I have to be the one? Yes, I know it's not easy. I can relate to you in so many ways. I can't even tell you. But I thank God that by his grace, by his goodness, I've started to understand. I have started to understand through reading the book of Daniel, the power in being willing to say, Lord, yes, even though it will be hard to be the first one to start to go and chase the squatters away. I am willing, Lord, by the help of the Holy Spirit. And not only for my family, for every person who listens to the sound of my voice and benefits from my testimony, Lord, I'm willing. Let's keep going. So this is how Daniel prayed. It says, "And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said," first of all, let me tell you about the posture of Daniel's prayer in verse 3. Let's go back. "Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make request by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth and ashes." Friends, we could be here for 2 hours, if not more, just dissecting that one verse. Daniel was a man who was humble. Sackcloth represents somebody who is humble, who's putting on a position of humbleness, of mourning. He was in mourning, right? Ashes, fasting, depriving himself, supplication. So the posture of somebody who's going to be a generational curse breaker has to be a posture of somebody who is humble, somebody who allows themselves to really, really, really submit to God, deny the flesh, and press in with the Lord. So let's talk about how he prayed. It says, "And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments." We have, so the first verse, verse 4, right? Like I said, just coming back a little bit to my own story, I had more dreams that followed after that vision that I shared with you that helped me to realize that there were certain specific things that the Lord brought to my attention through my dreams that involved idolatry and not so good things that had happened in my own bloodline. And so I adopted the same thing of saying, I want to pray and say, Lord, we have sinned. I don't care that it wasn't me. I don't care, Lord. But like Daniel did, I want to humble myself and pray these prayers. So yeah, Daniel started with honoring God, speaking praise of the character of God. You know, the Bible says, you enter his courts. It says, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart, and I will enter his courts with praise. There's a way to approach God, my friends. Thanksgiving is reminding, and I learned this from Derek Prince, which is very helpful, that thanksgiving is reminding God of his goodness, what God has done. God, you've done this. God, you've done that. God, you're amazing. Praise is reminding God of his greatness. God, you are mighty. God, you are this. It's speaking of his character. So this is what Daniel was doing, right? And then afterwards, he started confessing. He says, we have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgment. Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets who spoke in your name to our kings and princes, to our fathers and all the people of the land. Let me remind you, Daniel was a young boy when he was taken into captivity. He was only 17 years old. Daniel probably was not part of the people who did the things that he's confessing, right? Daniel was not saying, my people have sinned. He said, we. This is humbleness, my friends. I had to humble myself and pray the same kind of thing. And the second thing to remember and see in this is Daniel was very specific with his confessions. Very specific. He didn't just say, oh, Lord, forgive us, for we have sinned. My forefathers have sinned. He said, Lord, we have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. He was specific. And I chose to take what I had seen in the vision and the dreams to be specific over the things that I needed to say, Lord, we have sinned. Like I said, this is my experience. Take it or leave it. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to say this is what the Lord has done in my life. And I'm sharing on the instruction of the Lord, right? To share my testimony. I'm not here to argue with anyone. So please, if you have comments about, oh, you don't need to do this, you don't, I respect you. I respect your difference in opinion. But this is for people who are hungry to say, I'm willing, Lord, as per your word, to follow through. Me, I just chose to say step by step, according to this chapter of Daniel, I'm going to do the very same thing. So Daniel confessed, right? Confession is like a cleansing. That's what it is like. It's like cleansing, right? If you never confess your sins, even if it's not to do with your family, even if it's just to do with you as an individual, if you never confess your sins and you just say, oh, the blood of Jesus covered it. Oh, my friends, read your Bible. Read Hebrews. Read it. Read the Bible. It is important for you to confess your sin. Confess and repent. Repentance must be the lifestyle of a child of God. That's why, you know what? There are many people out there, right, who are unfortunately going to go to hell. Not because the blood of Jesus did not cover for their sins. Jesus finished, in our Bible study, we were learning how in Hebrews chapter 1, Jesus finished everything and is set at the right hand of the Father to signify that there is no more work to be done. He has atoned everything, all right? But you have to choose to go into this protection by confession and repentance. If you don't confess and repent, the blood is there, useful, active, but you have not chosen to come under the blood, right? Confession and repentance must be the lifestyle of a child of God, not through fear, not that whole kind of, oh my God, you know, I'm going to confess to a priest or father or whoever. No. Because many people do that and think, right, I've confessed, so now I have victory. And then they go and do the same sin again because they've not actually really understood the scripture. You are confessing and repenting, right? Repentance means a turning away from something. And you cannot do that without the power of the Holy Spirit. You cannot truly repent without the power of the Holy Spirit. So it is important for you to recognize, my friends, that it is not by might, it is not by our power, it is by His Spirit alone. But we have a responsibility. We have a part of it. Many of us just want the rights. I have my rights as a child of God. I have my rights as a child of God, but not the responsibility that comes with keeping your house safe. Even if the Lord swept your house clean, my friends, perfect. It's almost like a person who goes on holiday. Before you go on holiday, you've swept your house, you've cleaned your house, it's top notch. But when you come back, there'll be dust in the house. How the heck did the dust get into the house? How? A house that is not regularly manned or cleaned, the enemy will always find a way to come and put something else in there. Right? We have a responsibility. Don't just think because you've received Christ, you can sit there and now, you know, you have a butler. Say, oh, you want this? Okay, the butler, press button one, and the butler, or ring a bell. And the, you know, I grew up in the days of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and, they'll always ring the bell, and their butler, Jeffrey, would always come, right? Many of us think that that's what it's like, coming to Christ. It's not like that. It's not like that at all. And even still, it's not that we come to Christ to get things. We come to Christ for a relationship with Him, right? But the Lord delights in doing good things for His children, right? Suffering and thinking, oh, because I'm a Christian, that's why I'm suffering. And, you know, this shows I'm humble. No, suffering does not equate to a sign of humbleness, my friends, right? True children of God know that their greatest wealth and victory, not even victory, but their greatest asset, their greatest wealth is having Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not things, but they also understand that because God is a love, He's not a narcissistic God. He doesn't delight in you suffering. He wants you to be in a space where when you're going through pain and suffering, it is molding you into the character of Christ. Not man-made wildernesses, but God-made ones. Where the Spirit of the Lord has sent someone to the wilderness because the Lord is refining them. The Lord is purifying them. And you will come out even better than you went in. But there are so many other wildernesses, my friends, that we call God wildernesses that are not God wildernesses. That are the enemy taking advantage of the fact that you are living in the wilderness because he is squatting in your house. You have a house. You have a mansion. That is yours, but the enemy is squatting in it, and there you are in the wilderness, thinking, yeah, I've been given title deeds in God's time. In God's time, we rebuke that spirit in the name of Jesus. So Daniel understood the times by being in the Word. You have to be in the Word.
You have to know what the Lord speaks over you. You have to know the devices of the enemy. You can only know that through the word. No one is going to lay their hands on you and get victory. Many of us, we want that. We just search after the prophet. You know, there was a person who gave a massive testimony that went, you know, viral, millions, you know, and then sharing what it was like in the kingdom of hell and all of these things, and how he's now in the kingdom of light and preaching. And listen, when he then did a part two, he was speaking about how people were flocking to his church and people were messaging. It was like, honestly, like just an avalanche, right? It's almost like we're desperate to say, I want to go to that man of God. I want to go to that person. I need to go to Nigeria. I need to go to Uganda. I need to go to South Africa. Imagine. Imagine. Yet here is Daniel, who was a young boy in the word, understood the times, and he chose the posture of prayer, supplication, fasting, humbleness through sackcloth and ashes to stand in the gap. Your victory is not in a papa. There's nothing wrong with being prayed for. And there are amazing people with a prophetic gift who can, you know, give you a word that will spur you on. But if that becomes your lifeline, you are very vulnerable. You are not, thank you Holy Spirit for this. You know, squatters, what they do. When squatters claim rights over a property illegally, they will invite other squatters. They're not people who are as selfless as squatters on this earth. You will not get a family of squatters who are like, no, 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 no. You know, we've gained access to this property, me, my wife, and my children. No. They will invite cousin, this one. They will invite, they meet someone in the street. Hey, you want somewhere to live? We've got a place, man. Come to our place. They are open. So know this. When you're chasing after people praying for you, laying their hands on you, everything, you're vulnerable because those squatters, they already had legal rights, or that already were having illegal rights over your property. They will welcome other demons to say, come, yes, there's space here. There's more space. There's more space. Right? So be careful. Be careful. Not every altar you're saying I connect to. is worth connecting to. How about getting into this word of God and connecting to the altar of heaven? Do you know that Jesus, your high priest, intercedes for you daily before the Father? Do you know that? Do you know that the Bible tells us that there's altar in heaven, right? Where the prayers of people of God, you know, are like, I don't even know what to say, my friends. Do you, if we could only get a revelation of how we are loved by God, if we could only get a revelation of how mighty our God is, if we could only get a revelation of how when you start to feed your inner man, you are a giant in faith. Even if you only came to faith 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, if you devote yourself to the study and understanding the books like Daniel did and to prayer, you are full of authority. I'm reminded, this is no longer in the script, but I'll just let the Holy Spirit take us. I'm reminded of the parable where the owner of a vineyard, right, went to look for people to work in his vineyard. He went and took people in the data, in the early morning hours. Imagine 9 o'clock start, maybe. He went and said, hey, listen, come and work in my vineyard. You know, cool, great. He went again at midday. Hey, looks like you've got nothing to do. Come and work in my vineyard. And then around maybe, imagine, 3 o'clock. Work is finishing at 5, right? 3 o'clock, he goes out again and sees some people. He's like, hey, come into my vineyard and work. And then they go. And then when he was now giving, you know, the wage, he starts with the 3 o'clockers, you know, and he gives them one denarii, right? And the 9 a.m. gang is probably saying, hey, this is going to be great. You know, if he's given these ones this one denarii, you know, what is going to be our reward? He goes to the 12 o'clock gang. He gives them the same amount. He gets to the 9 o'clock. He gives them the same amount. The 9 o'clock gang are like, what is going on here? Right? Jesus, well, the owner of the vineyard is like, hey, listen, when I recruited you, I promised you that I'll pay you one denarii. That's what you got. Like, so that's the deal, right? What I'm trying to say is this. Never look down upon yourself to say, me, I only came to faith 3 weeks ago. Me, I only came to Jesus 2 weeks ago. Me, I only came to Jesus 1 month. You will overtake those that have been in Jesus for 50 years
If you get into this word and pray and seek him, you will overtake them. The Lord will use you mightier than people who've been there for 50 years. Those that are saying, oh, who is his trainer? Who is her mentor? Who is her, I don't know, what do they call it? Covering. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with being accountable to certain people. We need accountability. I need people who pray for me. I need people that can bring me back and say, hey, Christina, you know, maybe here you need it. We need that, right? But a lot of us, you know, we're living in a society where churches become a social club. People are excited about having mega churches with millions of people. People have to sign a ticket to come to church. You can go to church today and tomorrow no one even knows that you've backslid, because there's no discipleship. There is no accountability. Right? Churches become almost like it's in the numbers. It's in the success of a number rather than thinking, how many are we discipling? So the Lord is raising people, yes, who may not have some overseer to speak his word, because they are in the word. They're in intimate fellowship with him. And he's speaking through the mouths of babes. Yes, he's speaking through our mouths. So don't ever allow yourself to be in a space of being intimidated that you are new, you are a babe. There's nothing like, actually the Lord says he wants people to come who are like little children. You come, you stand in the gap and see what the Lord will do. Daniel was a young man. He was a young man, right? But guess what happens? I'm gonna have to fast forward this a little bit. Guess what happens? We're gonna pick this up from verse 16. It says, oh Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people, I reproach to all those around us. Now, therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications. And for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. Oh my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. Friends, as I was praying after confession and repentance, I did the same thing. I was following Daniel as a script. I was like, Lord, for your name's sake, change our story. Not for my sake, not just for me, not because I'm righteous, not because I'm in the word, but because of you, Lord. Because of you, so that even when the testimonies start flowing, I will be humble enough to say, see what the Lord has done. Not, I prayed, you know, had I not prayed, had I not done this, had I not stand in the gap, oh, these cousins are now enjoying because of me. No, it is the Lord's doing. Deliverance is in the hands of the Lord alone. It is by his great mercy alone. I love how Daniel ended his prayer in verse 19. It says, oh Lord, hear. Oh Lord, forgive. Oh Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God, for your city and your people are called by your name. My prayer was like, Lord, because now I'm called by your name. Lord, forgive, listen and act. Do not delay for your own name's sake. Because now people will say, where is her God? Where is her God? But Lord, I thank you, like you said in the book of Micah, that you will silence and you will shame the voice of those who said, where is her God? You will do it. You will do it for your name's sake. And not only for my life, but for the life of my cousins, the life of the children that will come, that some whom I will never even know. And now, verse 20 says, Now while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I'd seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the same time of the evening offering. What I just want to say is this, my friends, is that heaven answered Daniel. The Bible says, oh, Daniel, verse 22, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I've come to tell you, you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. May we be people that when we cry out to God, because our lives, we've given them to God, because our lives, we have consecrated them to God, because our lives are in this word, not for what we can get, but because we love God. May it be that the Lord answers us speedily and sends his angels and says, Christina, for you are greatly beloved. I have come because you're greatly beloved. Imagine that. But it comes through intimacy. Many of us are not willing to put in the responsibility part. We're just like, oh yeah, I've got these title deeds. And when God, you know, comes through, when God wills, he will chase away the squatters, you know. God will do a miraculous act. He will chase away the squatters out of my house. Yes, I have these title deeds. And yet, we're not willing. We're not willing to use our authority, to stand in our authority and say, no, squatters. No, squatters. Out you get. I know the word. You've been put under my foot. The Bible tells me in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, that you are under my foot. Every serpent, every scorpion, out of my house. Out of the marriages in my bloodline. Out of the finances in my bloodline. We are blessed. We're a blessed people. Wherever you had entered, every loophole, right now in the name of Jesus, out. We chase you out. But you cannot pray that prayer if you're not walking in holiness. How do I know that? Acts chapter 19, verse 13. Let's go there. Thank you, Jesus. Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, yeah, verse 13. So the Bible says, then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits. So basically, let me tell you a little bit what was happening. So we have Paul and, you know, some of the apostles, they're praying over people and, you know, people are receiving deliverance, healing, all of these kind of things to such an extent that, you know what, whatever Paul had touched, even handkerchiefs that had touched Paul, because of his presence, the presence of the Lord, because of the presence of God that he carried around him, right? People were being healed. And then there were these guys who thought, ha, it's the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Is it true that the name of Jesus is powerful? Yes. Is it true that the name of Jesus can chase away demons? Yes. But learn this valuable, important thing from this chapter. It says in Acts chapter 19, verse 13, then some of the itinerant, I can't read anymore. Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest who did so. So it wasn't just the exorcists. Even a priest was doing this, a Jewish priest, right? And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who are you? Who are you? Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you so much, Holy Spirit. You know, I didn't even realize that this verse 16 speaks about how they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Whereas the Lord had given me a vision of this house, you know, with the squatters. Isn't it amazing that this verse has got a house in it? It could be your house. Yes, with the title deeds. But if you go in there and your life is not a life that is honorable, a life of purity, genuineness, you have no authority over demons. You have no authority over the squatters. They will have a party with you, right? They will have a party with you. These are not the kind of prayers. Deliverance over bloodline stuff is not prayers that are going to be prayed by someone who's in fornication, right? Praying, claiming territories is not something that's going to be done by someone who's not got a life of being in the Word, praying and fasting. I'm not judging you. I'm being honest with you. If you're ready to embark on this, you have to be someone whom, when you start declaring and speaking, the demons will tremble, and at the name of Jesus, they will flee. But you speaking in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, and you're fornicating, the enemy will say to you, my friend, and I think James Aladrin says something like this, you cannot fight an enemy you're sleeping with. The enemy will laugh in your face to say, you, my dear, you are fornicating, and you are coming to me to tell me to lose the bounds over marriage in your bloodline. For the why? I'll come to you. I'm so sorry. These are like funny, like Zimbabwean references. If you're not Zimbabwean, you're not going to get it. But the point I'm trying to raise here is this. You have to be prepared. You have to be prepared. Don't just cry out to say, yes, I'm the generational curse breaker in my family. I'm the one who will be the trailblazer. I'm the one who will be the first. I'm crying out to God. And yet, you are not willing to pay the price of purity. We have to be willing to pay the price of purity. If you're not willing to pay the price of purity, leave it alone. Leave it alone. Otherwise, like these sons of Sceva in verse 16, right? The squatters will party with you. These sons of Sceva, they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Naked and wounded. The spiritual world is very real, my friends. The enemy doesn't take a break to say it's a weekend, so, you know, I'll give these people a break. He attacks 24/7. All right? We're not supposed to be scared of his attacks. We're supposed to be walking in our authority. But our authority, the rights we have in Christ, we have responsibilities, like what my lovely sister Trish shared and didn't even realize how much she was preaching with just that one statement. Sister Christina, I used to know and love my rights, but never thought about my responsibilities. What a powerful statement. What a powerful statement. We have rights as children of God. We have rights. We have authority, right? Our right is to be set in heavenly places with Christ Jesus in God. But we have responsibilities. Our Lord and King, Lord Jesus, right? His kingdom is a kingdom in which he holds a scepter of righteousness. The Bible tells us in Hebrews, right, chapter 1, that he hates lawlessness. He loves righteousness. I'm not saying you have to clean yourself up in your own strength, but you have to desire to be like him. If you really, truly receive Jesus, you know that. If Paul, who was with Christ, everything around him became powerful, you know that if you are walking with Jesus, your life will be evident. We're not saved by works, my friends. We're saved only by what Jesus did on the cross. But once you start to walk with Jesus, you cannot be the same. You can't tell me that you walk with Jesus and be the same. It's impossible. Even after the death and resurrection of Christ, the book of Acts tells me that every time Peter spoke, somebody was not that intelligent. But when he started to speak, after the death and resurrection of Christ, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit, everyone around him would know, even the most intelligent of men during that time, they would say, after they heard Peter speak, it was evident that he had been with Jesus. You cannot be with Jesus and there be no evidence in your approach, in how you speak, in how you carry yourself, not because you were putting it on, you were behaviorally trying to modify yourself. No, my friends, if I tell you, there's certain thoughts I used to battle with, and I used to say to myself, Christina, don't think like that. That's really bad. Don't think like that. For years. But once I started to walk with the Lord in the scripture, in prayer, and it became my life, I can't even access those thoughts anymore. They don't even come. Did I work for it? No. Did I heal myself? No. Did I cleanse myself? No. I'm a whole therapist. I know how to learn to change your thoughts. Is it successful? It does. But what I learned is that the way that the Holy Spirit transforms you is greater than any therapy. Your mind will be renewed in such a manner that you'll be shocked, because no therapy can give you the mind transformation, the mind renewal that the Holy Spirit gives. So what am I trying to say as I summarize this message? During my fasting and prayer season, the Lord put it on my heart to press in deeper and to do an absolute fast within the Daniel fast that I was doing. And I was like, oh, but I didn't see the reason, because the reason why I was doing a 40-day prayer and fasting didn't really seem to be something that I needed to be upping my fast for. I was like, oh, you know, like I'm already doing enough. I'm already, you know, fasting like 24/7 in terms of like not breaking the fast. I was doing a complete, you know, like from 22 April right to the 1st of June, complete just with fruit and vegetables. So I was like, oh, I'm already fasting, praying every single night, no break on weekends or whatever, from 12 midnight to 2 a.m. I'm already reading the word. I've already reduced my caseload with work so that I can be more in the word. Like, I mean, I think I'm kind of doing a lot, right? But I just thought, let me just do it. Let me just walk in obedience. I don't know what to pray for. I didn't go into these 3 days of praying and fasting with an agenda. I was just like, okay, Lord, I'm already here, so let's do it. And that's when the Lord helped. Not even helped, but that's when the Lord revealed things to me that I didn't even know. I started having dreams and visions, you know, that pointed to certain areas in my own life that were bound because of certain specific things that were not just tying me, but even people in both sides of my maternal and paternal bloodline. I have done the testimony video that goes in deep about these things, which is not yet the right time to release it. It will be released in line with the complete full picture of what the Lord is going to is doing. And I'm so excited to share it with you, because I'm going to be very, very open and transparent in that. But right now, it's not about telling the story of me. Right now, I felt like it was more about giving you also the tools that I learned, that the first thing I needed to do was to recognize the times, recognize the patterns, be in the word and say, what does the Lord say concerning these things? Pick up some scriptures to back up what I know the Lord was saying over the areas that I was that the Lord had revealed to me. Adopt a posture of humbleness to recognize that even though, yes, it's nothing to do with what I've done in my own life, I want victory. I want victory for me. I want victory for my children. I want victory for my cousins. I want victory for my nieces. I want victory for generations to come. So Lord, I am willing. I am willing. I'm not going to be selfish and say, you know what? I don't care about everyone else. It's all about me. Then I was taken to Daniel chapter 9. And then I just followed step by step Daniel's prayer, but personalizing it to me. And so my message is to encourage you to say that, yes, you could be Christian, saved, but bound in certain areas, to be honest with you. We may try and argue with it to say, is it even a thing? Oh, but you know, if you're in Christ, you're free indeed. You are very free. You are very, very free. But the reality of the matter is understanding the spiritual world. The person who owns the house where squatters may be in, they genuinely own the house. They really, really, truly own the house. There is no ifs and buts. The house is theirs. The same way, if you're in Christ, you're really free indeed. You really are. You are powered to go and really be victorious, but you have to be willing to walk into that victory. You have to be willing to exercise that victory. You are not in for Jesus being your butler and bringing things to you. You have to be willing. You have to be willing to match your side of the coin as well. So I pray that this message has just really motivated you to just be like, if you call yourself somebody who's a trailblazer, who's a star in your family, and you know, that's something that you're like, God, I need your help with, read Daniel chapter 9. It really blessed me. Pray that. Go through periods of fasting and praying. You know, go through periods of just being like, God, what do you want me to do for me? You know, how do you want me to respond to this message? Be the kind of person that actually has got legal credibility in the spirit. Because like Daniel, you're a person who loves God, who's got an excellent spirit, who by the power of the Holy Spirit really wants to be molded into the image of Christ and recognizes that it's not by might, it's not by power, it is by the Holy Spirit. So therefore, you talk to the Holy Spirit every day. You depend on Him. And when He speaks, you listen. Because the rate with which you are spoken to and the clarity with which the Holy Spirit speaks to you is correlated to the rate at which you obey. Let me repeat that. The rate to which you hear the voice of the Lord by the Holy Spirit and the clarity of that voice is correlated to your level of obedience. The more you obey, the more you will hear. But then if you hear
and you don't obey, why do you need to hear? Why do you need to keep hearing, right? Anyway, friends, I feel like I poured out what I was supposed to pour out today. And you are victorious in Christ. You have victory in Christ. You have assets. You have an inheritance in Christ, right? Please claim it. Please claim it. Please walk in it. Don't let it lie dormant. Don't let the squatters claim what is yours, because you are just there thinking, in God's time, in God's time. It is God's time. Are you willing to work? Are you willing to fight them? It's costly to fight the squatters, but it's worthwhile, right? You have to be willing to spend money. If this was a legal case, that's the same thing with your currency is the word of God. Your currency is prayer. Your currency is your purity, right? So let me just pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you for your children that are listening to the sound of my voice, the message that you wanted to share with us, Lord. Is a message of hope, is a message of deliverance. And I just pray, Father, that every child of God who needs the deliverance receives deliverance. And if you are new, you've listened to the sound of my voice, but you're like, I've never received Jesus as Lord and personal Savior of your life, I want to invite you to the journey of starting with God. So why don't you follow up to me? Heavenly Father, I have heard this message and I want to come and be one of your children. I want to have the authority that you have died for me to have. You are risen, Lord Jesus Christ, but I know you died on the cross. You shed your blood on the cross. You rose and you sat at the right hand of the Father, victorious because of your love for me, Lord. So, Father, I choose to say yes to come under the fold of Jesus Christ. It is my prayer right now, a prayer of surrender, that Lord Jesus, take over my life. May my life glorify you. I repent over my sin, and I say, Jesus, be Lord and personal Savior over my life. I invite you to come in and take that position. And Holy Spirit, come and help me navigate this walk. In Jesus' mighty name. Listen, if you've prayed this prayer, message me. I'm so excited for you. And I would love to help you find a Bible-believing church. Because trust me, not every church out there is a good place to be. So I would love to help you just to navigate your journey in Christ. And so reach out. My email is on the screen. And until next time, friends. Bye.